Amen. Well, hopefully you can see this morning around the balloon thing, but our series today is called Strong and Healthy Marriages, and we're going to be in it for the next several weeks. I'm hoping we can get our podcast up pretty quick because there's a lot out today that I really hope get a chance to hear what I'm going to share today. I just want you to know I've been on a journey for a long time. I didn't even preach on marriage for a long time because, quite honestly, I didn't feel like I had enough invested. I didn't feel like we were far enough along. I didn't feel like we were in the place to really be a voice in that regard. But that's changed a lot in the last few years. And I want you to know, I've always had the kind of perspective that our marriage is the most important relationship, human relationship, and we need to invest in it. We need to build it. So this morning, as I begin to share, I've got to give a shout out to a whole lot of different resources and people and folks that have invested in me over the years, because some of what I'm going to share today certainly comes from the wisdom they've shared with me in books and other mediums. But I'm thankful for folks like John and Stacy Eldridge and Love and War. I'm thankful for Dennis and Barbara Rainey. I'm thankful for Jimmy and Karen Evans and Marriage Today. I'm thankful for Mark Driscoll and his book on marriage. I'm thankful for several other resources. I can't even think of all of them right now, that have invested and helped Tracy and I in our marriage. And I'm excited today to begin this journey with you. We started our small group this past Sunday night. It meets every other week, and it's called Strong and Healthy Marriages. And I thought, what a better time, you know? Valentine's Day, sweetheart dance, just a great time of the year to talk about the importance of marriage, to really dial in and encourage all of us that God wants us to have strong and healthy marriages. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Psalm 107. I want to share a scripture out of there in just a moment. And by the way, this series is for those who are single, those who may have been divorced, those who are married in our midst. I think there's something that will be an encouragement to every one of you if you'll dial in. In fact, I'm looking over here at one of my favorite single young people in the congregation who the last time I preached on marriage said, "Pastor Jeff, that was one of the best series I've ever heard." So hopefully we've got some new things for you. So while you turn into Psalm 107, I got to tell you a little bit about this one couple. They were struggling in their marriage, and they were looking for anything, you know, really to help them. And the husband one day was out and about, and he just had a hard time understanding his wife's moods and emotions. And he happened to be out in a gift store, and he found a mood ring. And he thought, man, maybe this will help me to be able to identify the moods, because she's kind of moody, and, you know, sometimes I misread her. I can't quite figure out what she's thinking. So the husband bought the wife a mood ring. And here's what they discovered. They discovered when she was happy that it would turn a beautiful blue-green. And when she was not so happy, it would leave a bright red knot on his forehead. That's kind of what they discovered, and it was very helpful. But in all seriousness this morning, I want to talk about the healing journey of marriage. I want to talk about emotional health in marriage. Oh, Pete and Jerry Scazzaro, I forgot to mention them in emotional health. Here's what I believe, folks. You can't have a marriage that is better than your current level of emotional health. Let me say that again. Inside your bulletin, by the way, there's a little sheet you can write on and you can take notes. And I really encourage you to do that, because sometimes throughout the week, you need to kind of meditate on and think about some of the nuggets of truth that we try to give you here. And they'll help you. When I hear something, man, that sticks with me or that ministers to me, I put it in my phone and I have different files. I review it. But let me say this again, because it's really important as we start our journey today. You cannot have a marriage that is better than your current level of emotional health. So here's what that means. And let me just kind of break it down for you. That means that the least healthy spouse determines the level of your marriage. The least emotionally healthy of the two of you kind of determines the level that your marriage will be able to go to. When Tracy and I began our marriage, let me tell you, we had our difficulties. and right out of the gate because we were not emotionally mature people. We struggled a lot. We were selfish, especially me, incredibly selfish. We both carried a lot of baggage from our families of origin. We've been on a healing journey now, and God has done a whole lot in our marriage, a lot of healing, and we're really excited to share some of that with you. Some of you know that the church blessed us here not long ago with an incredible cruise, and I'll tell you, it was so helpful for us. And out of that cruise, we learned some things. We had some time and opportunity to really pay attention to one another, and it really, I think it took us to another level, and we've been enjoying our marriage in such a wonderful way over these last number of months. But let me tell you, you have to be healthy on the inside to have a healthy marriage. And here's maybe a surprise for you this morning. God often uses marriage to heal us. He uses marriage to heal us. Some see marriage as a place of damage and wounding, whether it's their marriage or their parents' marriage. But I really believe this, that God wants to use marriage to heal us, to bring those things to the surface that, quite honestly, we might try to ignore as best as we possibly can. But God has another plan. Because see, I believe marriage has an uncanny way of revealing our emotional wounds, our needs, our hurts. And if we'll turn to God and ask for His help and His wisdom and truly humble ourselves before Him and before our spouse, then He'll use marriage to heal those deepest places, those deepest wounds, those deepest hurts within us. Tracy and I, we damaged each other early on. By the way, we've been married 30 years, and I would consider in many ways that we've had a good marriage. When I look around and compare, but it wasn't everything God wanted it to be. There were rough spots. There were difficult times. There were hurts. And there was a lot that God was using in our relationship to lead us to healing and health. So let me share with you this morning four important truths about marriage, kind of to set the foundation for where we're going. The first one is simply this, and it's so important that you realize this, and if you don't, you need to. And it's simply this, that God created marriage. Can you say it with me? God created marriage. Yeah, I mean, this is so foundational that sometimes it's maybe easy to overlook. There's been an attack on marriage in our society, our culture. There's been questioning of what true marriage is. The very first God-ordained institution in all of human history was the marriage of a man and a woman. It literally, marriage or family is literally, it's the microcosm, if you will, of the church. The church is a macrocosm of the family or marriage. In other words, if those words don't sink in exactly, it's a marriage is the church in its smallest form. And church is a marriage or family in its bigger expression. There's an interweaving there. There's a commonality there. God created marriage. Society didn't create marriage. Lawyers didn't create marriage. Justices of peace didn't create marriage. Lonely cavemen didn't create marriage. God created marriage. Genesis chapter 1. God brings the man and the woman together, and He blesses them as they unite together under Him. Marriage came from God. That is foundational. We have to understand that and know that from the beginning. Number two, God created marriage to bless us. You know, you might be in the midst of a difficult marriage right now or a difficult season, but let me just tell you, God's design, His original design, His desire, if you will. A lot's been lost in His will or His desire, but God created a place called Eden. How many of you have heard of that? The Garden of Eden. And literally, Eden was a paradise. It means pleasure and delight. The Garden of Eden is a garden of pleasure and delight. God's original design and intention for marriage was to be this relationship that would bring pleasure and delight to the husband and the wife. It was never meant to be a place that would confine you, a place where you felt repressed, a place where you were hurt. This was God's original design before sin came into the earth and began to disintegrate things. And can I just say to you, God's all about restoring that which has been lost. Literally, the story of the Bible is from Genesis chapter 1, 2, 3, where sin enters in and begins to disintegrate. The rest of the Bible is about God's quest to restore that which was lost, that which sin has broken. So God really desires for your marriage to be a place where there's pleasure and delight. But number three, let me tell you, number three, you got to understand this. Rebellion to God's word caused the fall of marriage and the destruction of society. Genesis chapter 3, Satan comes in. He intrudes into the relationship, the budding relationship between Adam and Eve. He tempts Eve and he begins to say right out of the gate, has God really said? Has God really said? And the first thing that he does, Satan does, is question the integrity of God's word. Eve says, well, you know, we can't eat that fruit on that one tree, because when we do, God said we will die. And the serpent says, you will not die. But they did. They died spiritually. There was something deeply profound and powerful that was lost through that first act of rebellion. And it brought death through that sin and that rebellion. And let me just say to you, there's always great consequences to rebellion against God and his word. There's always great consequences to rebelling against God. I mean, look around, folks. Rebelling against God does not work. You can see it in our land today. There's probably no better picture than the United States of America and its founding and its slow but sure disintegration and rebelling against God's work and God's word. That makes me just want to say, how's that working for you, Dr. Phil? It doesn't work when you rebel against God's word. Things always go to a worse and worse place. There's never been a marriage, by the way, since that moment of rebellion in the Garden of Eden that didn't have its challenges. If you've ever seen what you thought was a perfect marriage, let me tell you, behind the scenes, there were challenges. Because anytime you get two broken human beings affected by sin, put them together in a room over a long period of time, there's going to be conflict, there's going to be challenges. Because sin brings destruction, but God wants to restore something that was lost along the way. And that leads us to number four. And number four is simply this: the returning to God's word heals us and restores us to God's plan for marriage and life. And here's our scripture for today, a very simple one, but one that is powerful. And I want you to look at and think about with me today. Psalm 107 verse 20 says this: he sent his word and he healed them, and he delivered them from their destructions. God's word's been sent to heal your marriage. God's word's been sent to encourage your heart in this most important human relationship. We got to come back to God to find healing and health for our marriages. Can I get an amen for that? See, let me put it this way, folks. Bad marriages are not God's fault, because that was not his plan. Not at all. Our culture is on a fast track to destruction of even the most sacred and important of relationships, and that's marriage. See, Tracy and I, we were both raised in good homes. Mine was not Christian early on. Tracy's was. But quite honestly, if we're really honest, and certainly want to try to be in every way possible in this series, we didn't have a lot of instruction or guidance in our marriage. Our premarital counseling, I think I shared this with you here several weeks ago when Bill and Connie McDonald were here. Our pre-marriage counseling was one meal together with them in a very busy restaurant. That was all we got. For some of you here this morning, you're like, premarital counseling, what is that? You didn't get any at all. You didn't have anybody guiding you or instructing you on what a healthy and a strong marriage looked like. We got one session. We do premarital counseling here at the church now, and it's 8 sessions, and it's powerful, and it's really helpful. But I didn't have that. So we were pretty much on our own, and we were both wounded. We both had wounds that we carried from our past, and quite honestly, trying to love each other was like two porcupines on a cold day. I mean, you need each other to stay warm, but boy, is it ever painful. I mean, the closer you get to that person, the more painful it becomes, because we had a way of touching each other's wounds without even at times recognizing it. Those things deep within us that were problem places that hadn't been healed, those things from our childhood and from our disappointments and our hurts. And we didn't mean to do it, but boy, would we touch those things. And you know how it is. If somebody touches a fresh wound, oh man, you jerk back, and there's a sensitivity to that. And we were both stubborn, especially me. And man, we could really fight, and we were both pretty good at it, to be honest to you. And we were committed to God. We wanted to put Him first. We wanted to walk according to His word in our marriage. We read, you know, that scripture, don't go to bed angry. How many of you know that scripture in Ephesians? Don't go to bed angry. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Man, did we ever take that to a new level and give that a new meaning? It literally meant for us that sometimes we'd stay up all night long in an argument. Because we were not going to let the sun go down on our wrath, and that wrath had not been released yet. We touched each other's wounds. It hurt us a lot. And somewhere along the way, we decided that we needed help. And we needed healing. And here's what began to happen for us, folks. We began to both individually ask God to heal us. This is really, really important, because it changed our marriage. It can change yours. And I tell you, at some point, God began to discipline me. It's probably the most harsh time in my whole 30-plus years of walking with God. I felt Him say to me one day, and I can go back to the time and the place and everything. I mean, it was a shaking moment for me, a gripping moment for me. But God said to me, stop. And let me tell you, when God tells you to stop something, boy, hopefully you listen. See, I was digging the hole deeper. I you know, and here's the first law of the hole, by the way, if you don't know it. Stop digging. It's the first law of the hole. When you're digging a hole and you keep digging it deeper, it gets harder and harder to get out of, and you got to stop digging at some point. You got to stop touching that wound in your spouse and bringing continued hurt. You've got to start at some point being a healer to your spouse, not a hurt. God got a hold of me, and I'm so glad He did. See, Tracy, now we're both in the Word of God every day. I mean, we spend time before the Lord every day. We open our Bibles every day. We journal. We seek God. And thankfully, God's Word is a mirror. And the book of James talks about it being a mirror that literally we can look into. And if we're looking closely enough, we'll see the areas of our life that desperately need His touch and His healing. Some people go to God's Word, and it's only about others. I don't know about you, but I go to God's Word, and it has a lot to say to me. Oh, sometimes I'll try to project it onto others, or I'll think, boy, somebody, you know, so-and-so ought to read this. That'd be good for them. But no, really, it's a lot more like this. Boy, that's you. I'm pinpointing you, pal. This is an area you need to pay attention to. You've been angry. You've been impatient. The fruit of the Spirit's not growing the way it needs to in you. You need to till the land of your heart, the soil of your heart, so better fruit can come forth. So, you know, it's a mirror. And as we look into that mirror, God begins to restore our souls from the wounds that have endured deep within every one of us. And thank God He uses people too. Good counsel is priceless. I have a dear friend named Chuck Shoemake, and he has been a wise and godly counselor to Tracy and I. He's been a lifesaver. And I don't know if I've told you this story before or not, but when Tracy and I lost a baby, and it was a really painful season for us, we were grieving and hurting deeply, and didn't know where to turn, didn't know what to do. And thank God there was an opportunity through Foursquare to go and spend a week with a counselor free of charge. We didn't have the money for something like that, but we took that opportunity, and Chuck Shoemake sat with us for a week, every day, a couple of hours, just listening and loving and pouring into us. And man, it was priceless. It was priceless. And then sometime after that, I'll never forget, I was at a convention in Los Angeles for Foursquare, and we were in a room, and there's probably 100, 200 people in the room, and it was fairly tight in the room. There were tables, and I looked over, and there was my friend Chuck. There was my friend Chuck, and I kind of looked at him, you know, and I was kind of trying to catch his eye and wave at him, and you know how you do when you see a friend in the room, and he kind of wouldn't look at me, and he kind of wouldn't acknowledge me, and I was kind of, I was kind of like, what's up with Chuck? I mean, has he forgotten who I am, or, you know, what's going on? Well, at some point in a break, I went over to Chuck. I said, hey, how are you, my friend? I tried to, you know, and he said, oh, listen. He said, a lot of people are so embarrassed that I would acknowledge that I know them, that I just keep a really low profile. He said, quite honestly, I look around this room, there's a whole lot of people here that I've had a part in helping them in their healing journey, but there's a whole lot of them who won't even acknowledge that they know me. Isn't that interesting? I said, well, Chuck, listen, well, I'll be your poster boy. I'm going to let everybody know how wonderful you are. And I'm not ashamed in the least bit to acknowledge and confess the fact that your counsel has been life-saving for me. And for years, we had that opportunity to sit under his godly counsel, and it's been so helpful and so healing for us. Listen, we seek marriage for a lot of reasons, but listen to this. You probably should write this one down. One of the most important is that we're incomplete and we're unhealed. And quite honestly, we're looking for a spouse to help fix that. And it's interesting, you know, as a relationship develops and kind of you're in that dating phase, you guys can remember this. I kind of call it the performance phase of a relationship in those early days. You know, we put on a good face and we dress up and we even wear cologne. And I mean, you know, we're just on our P's and Q's. We're making sure we're opening the door and doing all these things. But after we're married a while, things kind of subtly change, don't they? We've secured the relationship, but then we start to see who each other really is. And here's the sad fact. We often take our marriage, which is our most important human relationship, for granted. And that's when the fighting begins. That's when the conflict ensues. But here, you know, here's something I want to share with you today. And maybe you haven't thought about this, because sometimes we get caught up in stuff like, did I marry the right person? Let me just say to you, I think God's a whole lot more sovereign than you give him credit for. I think he's in a lot more control of things than you realize. Let me just say it this way. The truth is, I think God's sovereign in who we even marry. I think he's a part of that. This is important. So here's what he does. He puts us with someone who ultimately will help us to be healed and to grow, because he loves us. Now, research, there's been lots of research on this kind of thing, says that much of what we're looking for in a spouse, it's at a subconscious level. We're not even thinking about it. It's deeper than what we realize. I mean, when we first see our husband or our wife, we might think, wow, they're attractive and they're cool and I like being with them and they make me feel good and all this stuff. But I think there's more to it than that. It's kind of what I call the iceberg analogy. And I know some of you are having a hard time seeing it because of my wonderful balloon arch here. But the iceberg analogy is interesting. You only see, they say, about 17% of an iceberg. In other words, the other 83% is under the water, and you can't see it. By the way, it was the 83% under the water that sank the Titanic, not the 17% that was above the water. And it's the way we are in who we are as people. There's a lot underneath the surface that makes a difference. And I think sovereignly God, you know, God wires us to choose a spouse a certain way. And we might be looking on the surface, wow, she's beautiful and this kind of thing. But he's working under the surface. He's got a plan that goes even deeper, because he wants to get to things below the surface to bring healing to them. So there's two sovereign and conscious, subconscious decisions that I want to share with you this morning that I think we make when we're choosing a spouse. The first one is simply this. We're looking to find our compatible opposite to complete us. Now, you know, this is a funny thing about relationships and marriage, because sometimes we kind of think, you know, we need somebody like us. But in reality, we end up looking for someone who's our compatible opposite to complete us. How many of you have ever felt that? That, man, my spouse is so different than me. Okay, the rest of you are lying, so Lord, forgive them. Let me see that again. How many of you have ever felt that? No elbows, okay. Yeah, we're really different people. Tracy and I are very different. We see things differently. We do things differently. Now, let me tell you what Genesis 2:18 says, and it's so powerful. It says this: it's not good for a man to be alone. I will make for him a helper. And that word helper, I love that word. It's the word ezer. Ezer. And it literally means this: to supply what is lacking. To supply what is lacking. In other words, Adam didn't need another Adam. Jeff didn't need another Jeff. If I'd had another Jeff, I would have drove myself nuts. Jeff needed a Tracy to complete all of those gaps and missing parts in Jeff, to bring healing to Jeff. And Tracy needed Jeff to bring healing to Tracy. You didn't need another you. Listen, marriage isn't like this. It's like this. You come in, you fill the gaps, you complete one another. God created Eve to complement Adam. But I'll be honest with you, I think we're often blind enough to think that we're normal and everybody else has issues. Have you ever felt like that? And in reality, I got a lot of issues. But it took me a long time to get comfortable enough with myself to admit those issues, to be honest about those issues. I don't even know if you realize it, but you're basically incompatible with your own self. You have a hard enough time getting along with your own self. Yeah, what I heard somebody recently say, you know, I spent the day by myself, and man, was the company lousy. I mean, wow. It was a lot of conflict. Inner turmoil, inner problems, inner issues. Listen, you need somebody to fill in all those places where you're lacking. See, what makes Tracy and I compatible is that we both love Jesus with all of our hearts, and we are committed to his plans and his purposes for our lives. That's what makes us wonderfully compatible. In the Bible, in those early chapters of Genesis, it's sad because Adam rejects Eve. He even says to God, God, it was the woman you gave me. He blames Eve. He blames God. Listen, Tracy and I are very different. We really are. We got very different personalities. We approach things differently. We had different backgrounds, different personality types, different spiritual gifts, etc. But compatibility is not based on sameness. It's based on shared beliefs. It's based on shared values. It's based on shared goals. Listen, young people, single people, the purpose of dating is to discover somebody's character. It's to discover who they are as best you can deep within, and whether or not that person is going to be good in walking in life with you. See, Tracy and I are committed to pursuing God together. And even though we're very different, we help each other in amazing ways. She's made in the image and likeness of God, and so am I. And she represents a part of God that I don't. But when it comes together, and this is what's so cool about marriage, the two become one. One. She brings something of God that I don't have. I bring something of God that she doesn't have. And we become one together. It's a wonderful thing. There's three types of differences in marriage. And maybe I'll elaborate on this more in the future. But there's tolerated differences. There's rejected differences. And then there's celebrated differences. And you know, Tracy and I have just decided along the way, we're going to celebrate our differences because we have lots of them. But we share beliefs, we share values, we share goals in life. Listen, men, I got to tell you, I have learned over time to listen to my wife. She has incredible insight that I don't have. She has a sensitivity to her that has taught me so much. I tend to be one of those kind of type A, get it done type people. And sometimes in the midst of my type A, get it done mentality, I'll run over people. Not my wife. My wife loves people and she sees them and she connects with them at a deeper level. And I've learned a lot from that. I've often joked that, you know, if you don't like me, that might be discernment. If you don't like my wife, you probably have a demon, man. I mean, just being honest. She's taught me a lot. She's very sensitive. She's not only very sensitive, but she's very intuitive. She can see things, pick up on things. I'm totally dumb and oblivious too. She had to pull me aside at times and say, Jeff, here's what's really going on. You're totally missing it. Oh, wow, thank you, honey. Very, very helpful. I don't know if you've come to that place, but it's really helpful. And number two, the two sovereign and subconscious decisions we make when choosing a spouse, we're looking to find a committed partner to walk us back to our past so we can be healed. Here's a good question. Why do couples fight? You know, it was 8 years of research at a university level that found that most fights come from the fact that we're all wounded from our past and we're looking for a spouse who can help heal us. And the reason we fight is because we're unaware of the need we have for healing deep down within. So let me just kind of close here with some thoughts today of what has helped Tracy and I to be healed. Because even the cruise here recently was just such a demonstration of that for us. We had such a fantastic time, I can't tell you. It was awesome to be with my wife, alone with her, focused on her for 11 days. And it was so wonderful, and only because God has brought us on this healing journey to some wonderful places. But what helped us be healed? Let me just share some points. We had to admit we were wounded. If you haven't admitted yet that you're wounded from your past, from your childhood, this isn't about casting blame or guilt on your parents or any of that kind of thing. It's not about being a victim. It's about recognizing your need for healing. And listen, in most marriages, it starts with one person. One person realizing, you know what, I need to turn to God and get healing for me. Listen, when you make that kind of choice, it's going to have an absolute impact on your marriage. In such a positive way. Secondly, we stop blaming each other and attacking each other. You know, I love the little definition of blame is to be lame. You know, and we live in a world today where everybody's blaming everybody for all their stuff. There's just so much blame shifting. Nobody wants to take responsibility. Listen, if you're going to have a strong and a healthy marriage, stop blaming each other and stop attacking each other. Start encouraging each other. Start lifting each other up. Start using your words to build each other up. And this is a big one. We shared this the other night in our small group. We stop turning our hearts from one another. And this requires an immense amount of intentionality. What I mean by that is whether it's from hurt, whether it's from conflict, or just busyness, sometimes we turn our hearts from one another. And we start ignoring each other and in our deepest needs. We stop communicating at a heart-to-heart level. We stop spending quality time together. Listen, by the way, the key to quality time is quantity time. You can't just schedule quality time. Hey, honey, Friday night, we got 2 hours. We're going to have quality time together. You can try that, and I encourage you to do that. But you're going to find quality time comes when you really carve out a quantity of time to be with each other. Tracy and I love to be together, love to do fun things, love to go on hikes, love to go shopping, or well, she does. But anyway, I go with her, you know, I carry the bags. We love to do things together. We love to go to a movie together, go out to a nice dinner together, sit and talk with one another at the deepest level. Listen, we turn to God. We turned to his word. We looked in that mirror and asked God to heal each of us individually. And we allowed each other. We found ways. In fact, part of what we're sharing in our small group is ways to complain without attacking each other. Safe ways to share concerns that you have with one another that don't trigger a landmine exploding in the midst of your relationship. And then lastly, we became a safe place for each other. A safe place. Tracy helped me find my deeper emotions, helped me understand those in a better way, because I don't always understand what I'm feeling. A lot of guys don't. And feelings get all messed up with inside, and we react in ways that we shouldn't. But Tracy helped walk me through a lot of that, helped me see a lot of that. We talked together through our past. We looked at our families back two or three generations. We looked at the wounds and the challenges that were there. We learned things from those things. We talked through our childhood, our challenges. Tracy believed in me, listened to me, honored me. And I gave her confidence. I gave her security. I gave her strength. I tried every way to cherish her, make her feel secure. Listen, when you get back to doing those type of things, folks, your marriage will go to a deeper level. Amen? I'm going to ask worship team to come back up and ministry team to come up for a few minutes. Would everybody bow your heads, close your eyes for a moment? If you're here today and maybe, just maybe, you have not received Christ into your heart. Oh, you've heard about it. You've thought about it. You've been around people who have, but you've never made that personal decision. Or you've been close, but, or maybe you have and then you've walked away. I want to pray with you first of all. If you're here today and you need to re-up your decision to follow Christ first and foremost in your life, would you pray these words with me right where you're sitting? Just from your heart, sincerely, if you do, God will hear you. Father, I need you. Jesus, I cry out to you. Come into my life. Come into my heart. Forgive my failures, my faults, my mess ups. Show me how to live for you every day. I want to be your son or daughter. I want to be a part of your family. I want you to teach me how to live this life. In Jesus' name. For the rest of us here this morning, and maybe we've touched a sensitive place with you today. Maybe you are not at that place where you're enjoying your marriage as much as you'd hoped or desired. Listen, our God is a resurrecting God. He has resurrection power. He can take that which even appears to be dead or is dead and make it alive again. I just want you to know I'm praying for every couple in this church that God will do something magnificent in every marriage. Now I want to pray for you this morning. Lord, I pray for every marriage represented here today, regardless of where it is, regardless of how painful it might be right now, regardless of how many hurts there have been from the past, from other choices and decisions that have been made along the way. God, you're a God of healing. You're a God of restoration. Lord, would you bring a deeper intimacy? Would you bring a healing to every marriage? In Jesus' strong name. Lord, for every single person here, for every engaged couple here, for every person who's went through the pain of a divorce, God, would you bring encouragement to their hearts today? God, you're a redeemer. We're so thankful for that. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Would you stand with me for a moment? We're going to sing through a song together. If you need to come and be prayed for this morning. These are some good brothers and sisters who'd love to pray for you. Whatever your need is, come, and then I'm going to come back and dismiss us in just a moment. God bless you.